sick, Dad.
Happens to the best of us, son. Just sit still and take it easy until you feel like standing up. Don't try it too quickly.
On the other side of the six-sided room, Jack uncoiled himself with the effortless grace of a prairie rattler, steadying himself for a moment on the armor-glass walls. There was a worm of blood seeping from the albino teenager's nose. Looking across at Doc, generally the last to recover from the rigors of a jump, Ryan noticed that the old man was still unconscious. Like Jack, he was bleeding from his nose. There looked to be about a pint and a half staining the old man's grizzled cheek and coagulating on the floor. Doc slowly opened his pale blue eyes, gazing sightlessly at the ceiling.
Give me a few more seconds, gentlemen of the fancy, and I shall soon be up to scratch.
He touched his nose and peered at the red smear on his fingers.
I perceive that the redoubtable John L. Sullivan has tapped my claret.
What's he droning on about now?
Mildred shook her head.
John L. Sullivan, while no Jack Johnson, was the world heavyweight boxing champion back around Doc's time. The old goat imagines he's just been knocked down by him.
Doc struggled into a sitting position.
Imagined? Did I hear you right, Dr. Wyeth?
Yeah, you did, Doctor of Philosophy Tanner.
I will have you know that I once had the honor, the dubious honor, of testing my pugilistic skills against the great man himself. Though truth forces me to admit that he was the little the worse for imbibing of the grain and was in a bullying, hectoring mood.
And he beat the shit out of you.
I will have you know, John Barrymore, that I managed a few shrewd blows that caused him to blink. Then he hammered home 70 or 80 lucky blows, and I measured my length on the floor of the restaurant where the altercation had taken place.
Yeah, Doc. He beat the shit out of you.
By the time everyone felt ready to stand without the world spinning around their ears, about 10 minutes or so had passed. Ryan drew his Sig Sauer while his Steyr rifle was strapped across his shoulder.
Usual red alert. Everyone ready to go?
They had all their guns out, lining up behind Ryan as he reached to ease open the door of the gateway. He pushed gently at the counterbalanced weight of reinforced armor glass. It swung open, revealing the familiar sight of a small, cramped anteroom, barely 8 feet square, totally bare of any furniture. The floor was surprisingly dusty. Most of the redoubts that they'd visited had been in a near-perfect running order, with just an occasional failed light or a small malfunction in the circuitry. The original computer-controlled nuke power sources had been working reliably for close to a century, maintaining temperature and humidity, as well as circulating the air and keeping all the rooms and corridors of the complex relatively free from dust.
Dirty. And there's marks in it.
Yeah, JB. Everyone just wait a minute. Jack, can you come take a look?
Jack ghosted past, stepping carefully from the chamber. He squatted, his head to one side, staring at the marks, reaching out after a few seconds with delicate finger and thumb, like surgical pincers.
Here.
He held a frail shred of material to Ryan, who took it and held it to the bright overhead light.
Silk.
It was only a dozen threads, but each seemed to be of a different color. Turquoise, scarlet, aquamarine, cobalt, and amethyst. Mildred took it from his hand.
Beautiful. It looks foreign.
Foreign?
Asian, Japanese, or Chinese. A funny thing to find here in the middle of a redoubt.
Doc took it.
It is beautiful. Do you know what it reminds me of? Silly, though.
What, Doc?
Well, an old friend of mine who lived up in the Pacific Northwest was a collector of militaria. Specifically, he was most interested in Oriental armor and swords. The samurai swords with a narrow, very slightly curved blade to them. Lovely things.
I know what you mean, Doc. Always thought I'd like to own one, but you don't see many of them lying around in the Deathlands.
But what's Chinese swords got to do with this pretty bit of rag?
Japanese, not Chinese. Well, they sometimes have braids of silk at the hilt, like a tassel. It's just that these threads reminded me of that. Sorry. I said that it wasn't going to be relevant. I presume there aren't many samurai warriors making jumps in Deathlands.
Ryan rubbed at his chin.
Well, now, remember we started hearing these strange rumors. Gangs of what they called yellow-skinned killers. Only rumors.
Don't get bubbles without water.
Doesn't seem likely. All the way from China or Japan, how would they have gotten here?
You've forgotten about Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin?
And that lovely sniper's rifle. The Long Dragunov. Reworked Kalashnikov. Yeah, he got here from old Russia.
And we got to old Russia. We still have no idea how many Matran's gateways there are in Deathlands. Never mind anywhere else in the world.
Well, it can't be any Japanese down here. Wherever here is.
Jack straightened from examining the faint scuff marks in the layer of fine powdery dust.
Could be wrong, Abe. About 10 or 12 feet. All of them real small, like women or a child. Japanese supposed to be small.
JB ran his finger through the sandy dirt.
Tell you something else. I don't reckon this is dust from Deathlands. And I've been places, seen a lot of things.
Huh. And I've been things and seen places, so we're even. Sorry, poor joke at the best of times. This isn't the best of times.
Nor the worst of times.
Funny, Doc.
Call me Dickens, Mae West. I recall she once said something
about... Shut it, Doc.
Ryan rubbed the dust between his fingers, realizing what JB had meant. It was far finer than most dirt he'd ever seen, almost like milled flour. He touched the tip of his tongue to it. There was an unusual bitterness and something that was faintly aromatic.
What do you think, Glover?
JB could be right. Who knows? I guess one bit of dirt's a lot like another.
Think it comes from inside the redoubt, Dad, or brought in from outside?
Small feet brought it with him, in from the gateway. Dust sticker right by the chamber door and gets in across the floor.
But there's something odd about it. Let's get moving. Been close to half an hour since we jumped.
I hope this place has some food and drink cached away.
I would personally settle for a comfortable bed to take my ease and rest my weary bones.
Everyone came out of the gateway chamber itself, crowding into the cramped little room. With 9 people there, it wasn't possible for anyone to move. Ryan was already waiting by the closed door that should open to reveal the control room.
Don't push!
Ah, shit!
But Abe jostled Trader's arm, loosening his grip on the Armalite. As the gun started to fall, Trader began to stoop to retrieve it. His hip knocked into Doc, who dropped the sword stick from under his left arm. It landed awkwardly, somehow wedging itself between Mildred's ankles. She stumbled into Christy.
Well, Gaia!
Jack neatly dodged her, but then he got in the way of JB, who had seen the cane drop and was about to try to pick it up.
Watch it!
Whoa!
He backed into Dean, who was totally off balance, trying to peer down at the small footprints in the alien dust. Dean tripped backward, sprawling flat on his back on the metal discs in the floor of the Matran's chamber, the back of his head landing solidly.
What the?
Ryan turned so fast that the Sig Sauer cracked into Mildred's wrist.
Damn it!
She stepped backward, bumping into Abe.
Oh, shit!
The little gunner had been trying to stop himself falling in the opposite direction, as well as keeping out of the traitor's line of sight. The impact of the stocky woman took him completely by surprise, and he began to fall toward the gateway chamber. At the last moment, he wriggled sideways, but his own impetus took him into the open door.
Shit! Door's closed itself! The kid's inside!
Oh my goodness.
Dark night, the boy's jumping!
JB tried to reach the sec lock. Ryan looked. He could just see the gateway over everyone's heads and just make out, very dimly, the shape of his son inside through the speckled glass. Dean was up on his feet.
Everyone out of the way!
Ryan headed across the cramped little room toward the trapped boy. Jack and JB had gotten to the door first, and both were pulling on the release mechanism.
No. Sec lock's activated. It'd take a missile to break it open.
Damn thing started. The ceiling discs are starting to glow.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
He's going! Shut up, traitor!
Ryan pressed his mouth close to the ice-cold brown and white armaglass.
Dean! Light out flat for the chop! Now! I'll come after you! Hear me? Stay where you end up, and I'll come after you! Dean! Wait, and I'll come!
Christy touched Ryan gently on the shoulder, but he shrugged her off.
Wait!
He's gone, lover.
Gone.
I regret that it is true, old friend.
Doc patted him on the arm. Ryan took a step away, trying to keep himself together. The sudden disappearance of his son had been truly devastating.